I've noticed something. I came in the other night, last night I came in, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, get up here and play the bongos. I've never played them before, and I can feel the pulse of the music and all like that, and I don't think I did real bad about it, but you know what? God gives me fun things to do when He speaks to me. I listened to you, and you helped me a lot over there by setting the pace, see. And I knew to do it. I knew who to listen to. But God has a sense of humor. You know, I got a picture in my room of Jesus laughing. And He is just laughing. He's got His mouth wide open and laughing. And you know what? He wants His children to be like Him. You know? A lot of times we think, well, my goodness, I'm just not holy enough if I come into the house and I start moving around, you know. But I've come into the house and the Spirit of God get a hold of me, and especially my wife, and she'll go dancing around, all around. That's freedom. And you know, when the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And people are not free until they're free to worship. You know, because we carry so much around. We carry such a weight around. And Jesus is saying, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. You know, just everyday life things is heavy. Balancing your budget, making sure there's food on the table. You know, protecting yourself from wind storms and raining all the time, and then all of a sudden the sun isn't up as long during the winter time. You know, that has its negative effects in itself. But the Lord said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you whithersoever thou goest. So no matter where you go, God is there. You know? And what you do, you carry Him with you and His Spirit with you. I remember Benny Hinn said one time, he walked in and there's a bunch of men there talking and all, and they said all of a sudden, oh my goodness, I feel the Spirit of the Lord here. Well, the Spirit of the Lord doesn't come in there with Benny Hinn. It's time that we started changing the atmosphere around us. Because I tell you, you cut on the news report, and you're going to get depressed. I done got where I don't cut on the 6 o'clock news anymore because it's bad news after bad news after bad news. This word right here is good news. Gospel is good news. And the more time I spend in here, the more I get an education, because the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit Himself will teach us and to lead us into all truth. Now, I don't want false news. I want true news. I don't want anything false and negative. I want something true that will build me up. And it says you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's too many people around. Now, this, Nancy's already said, 2018, you're a bondage. Now, who sets the bondage of captives free? The Lord Jesus does through us. Because we are His hands. We are His feet. We are the gospel. We are the walking, talking gospel. And if we come walking up and we're sad and overwhelmed and thinking, oh, how am I going to get these needs met? The Word of God says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, for us to have victory in that, and I was going to start off slow today, but I tell you what, I'm giddy right now. I could get up here right now, and I'm trying to kind of keep things under control, you know, because I get excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it's the power of God. It's demonstrated through His Word. I get excited on Saturday nights and I can't sleep Because the Holy Spirit starts giving me little tidbits about what he wants me to say the next day. See, I'm so dependent on the Lord. When the Lord moves through one of our services, I can't go and say, oh, wow, what a great job you did, Tom. What a great job you did. Because it's none of me and it's all of him. I get in there and I listen. I say, God, open up the eyes of my understanding. Open up my ears that I may hear what the Spirit of the Lord has for the church during this hour. You're not here by mistake today. You know, and this is all. How many of you have ministries? I better see every hand in here. God's got a ministry for every one of us. God had a blueprint of our life with his perfect will that he wanted in our life from the very beginning. God knew us when we were in our mother's womb. God knew us when we were conceived. When does life begin? At conception. And God knew us at that time. And the thing about it, life is complicated. But if we use the roadmap here, the word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The issuance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. This is our roadmap. But there's other roadmaps too. Be still and know that I am a God. I am exalted among the heathen. I am exalted in the earth. If we will, but when we get down in front of God in prayer. See, the reason so many ministries today are getting off course and you got so many pastors leaving the ministries is because they don't stay plugged into the power source. And that power source is God Almighty himself. At one time, people couldn't have access to God like we do today. But Jesus Christ died, rose again, that we can go boldly before the throne of grace to get our help in our time of need. You know? And Jesus, Nancy said last night, Jesus is the door. Don't stop at Jesus. Go through the door and talk to God himself. Oh, goodness. You know, I bet it was exciting for Adam to walk with God in the cool of the day. I bet Adam every day looked forward to the cool of the day because he could be in the presence of Almighty God. He had joy unspeakable and full of glory because he was in the presence of the Lord. And that's the way it is with us. If we will but spend time and get recharged with him, you know, you say, wait a minute, man, God don't speak. Why does the word say, my sheep know my voice? You know? And I tell you what really surprises me. You know, I could think, well, my goodness, God has never spoke audibly to me. But he speaks to me in that still, small voice. It's kind of like your conscience. And it's always in line with the word of God. It's never contrary, never perpendicular to the word of God. And also, I feel his presence that confirms the word. And then I get with brothers and sisters in Christ and start getting that iron sharpened up. Iron sharpens iron. I tell the people in my church, I said, don't hang around negative people. Don't hang around people that will continually pull you down because I don't care how positive you are. I don't care how much victory you experience in your life. You get around negative people, they're going to pull you down. You got to get with some men and women of God around you that will build you up. Some men and women of God that will challenge you. Some men and women of God that will teach you by their actions. It's time that the pastors and the people in the pulpits begin to walk out what their talk is. Because they talk a good talk on Sunday, but the other 6 days of the week, their walk is the very opposite of what their talk is. No wonder the world's calling us hypocrites. No wonder they're saying, show me, show me, show me. Live out what you're speaking. Live out what you're preaching. Live out what you're trying to show yourself as being on Sunday. The world wants something real. It's just like teenagers Young people, they want the truth. They don't want a facade. They don't want us to go and put masks on to try to appear to be good. But yet within us, we're rotten. Rotten as eggs. And to think about it, God can see what's on the inside. I started today to wear a nice coat, wear my tie, wear my khakis, and I was going to change at lunch. But then the Lord said, listen, it's nothing really impressive about you on the outside anyway. I want the people to see your inside. And the inside is not because of you, but the inside is because you've been crucified with me and you let me live through you instead of you trying to live your life. You know, we get to start saying me, myself, I, you know. We are very selfish at times. I am. I don't know if I'm speaking for you or not, but we get selfish. We want our will, not thy will, you know. God gave me a new word. He said, Tom, set a goal for yourself to be selfless. Because when we get out of the way, God has free reign. God will be able to lead us and to guide us and to direct us and to fill us to overflowing. There are times when I feel like I'm just not going to be able to stay in His presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit anymore, because it just oozes out of me, flows out of me. You may think, you know, when you see me smile like I smile, and that's one thing I'm known for, smiley. Some people call me smiley instead of smiley. That's not generated from me. That's generated from who is within me. He's taken care of my past. He's taken care of my present. And He's taken care of my future. That's something to smile about. And it has been paid in full by my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We won't need to go pulling out plastic. You know, we go now, we eat out, and we pull out plastic. Good things are just happening. And sometimes we get to thinking, oh, I love this plastic. Let me give you my card until the end of the month. And then the statements come in, and you think, my goodness, what got into me? I didn't realize I'd done spent so much money. And then that brings depression on. Unless you're really, really schooled enough to the point and disciplined enough to the point where you pay it off monthly. Use somebody else's money free. No card charge, you know. And that's you using somebody's money free for a month if you work it right. God taught me that. You know, it's stuff that I never had an idea how to do things. I'm really in myself a dumb southern boy with a southern accent. But you know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And He is all that is good in me. Because without His goodness, without His salvation, it's no telling what jail I'd be in today. You know, Paul said, no matter where I'm in, no matter what situation I'm in, I found myself to be content. Most of the New Testament was written behind jail bars. Amen. Where he was getting beaten and scourged. You know, if anybody said, and I am talking about ministry now, okay? This is about ministry. If anybody said, I didn't deserve what came my way, Paul could say that. Because he was getting beaten and scourged over presenting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For carrying us from the old covenant, which has its flaws, to the new covenant, which Jesus Christ paid for Himself. And the new covenant is always better than the old covenant. Yeah. That old covenant, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. You get out of line a little bit and you done messed up. But with the new covenant, Jesus Christ, the blood from Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Nancy said last night, the blood of Jesus Christ is perfect. Yes. They overcame him in the book of Revelation. We overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Let me tell you something. Let me encourage you something in your ministry. I tell my church this. Don't have a 30-year-old testimony. What's God done for you yesterday? What's he done for you today? His goodness is new every morning. His freshness is new every day. Every day God leads us into is an opportunity. Now, we can look at several things. You were talking about storms this morning, brother. We can look at the storms that come into our lives and we can get depressed and we can say, oh me, oh my, woe is me. Or we can say, God, I thank you for the opportunity. This is an opportunity for you to perform a miracle in my life, oh God. And God, I believe in miracles. I know who my source is. My help coming from the Lord who made heaven and earth. His eyes are continually not on what the bad people are doing. His eyes are on the righteous. Church, his eyes are on you. And what's so exciting is this. Brother Michael, you said this morning, the apostles wish they could walk in our shoes today. This is the most important time in the history of the world. And God thought enough about you. He thought enough about me to put us in here. He trusted us enough to put us in here at such a time as this. Because he's fixing to pour his spirit out. Oh man, like the world has never known. Any outpouring that has been, there's even a greater outpouring in our future. We've got everything to be excited about. I know I look at myself and I'm getting older. It's some things I can't do physically anymore. I used to like to play, Lewis, I used to like to play basketball. I saw Sarah out there shooting the basketball on my basketball goal. And I thought before she comes back in a year, I'm going to need to be able to shoot some out there and just be able to compete with her a little bit. She's still a young lady, 51. I'm 63. But you know what? God said, I'm going to renew your youth in your life. And you know why God says that? Because we got to be in shape to do what God has called us to do. We can't just let average health take us by. We've got to eat the right thing. We've got to exercise. And we've got to especially exercise our relationship with Him. Because listen, life is complicated. Satan's around every corner. Who do you think right now? I move around a lot, don't I? I'm not getting anybody dizzy moving around, am I? Who do you think Satan's big guns are after? Person in the bar, person running around on their spouse. Nah, he's already got them. Nominal Christian who goes to church on Sunday and then forgets about church the rest of the week, lives their own life, saying, I did it my way. It's the people that's on fire for God. It's the people that's going to do the most harm to his kingdom, the kingdom of Satan. That's us. What are you doing here today? You're here because you love the Lord. You're not here because we're offering you a fried chicken dinner, dinner on the grounds, potluck dinner. You're not here because of that. You're here because you love Jesus. And you've grown. We've all grown to a certain point. And we don't want the point that we're at right now to be our destination. We want more. And the more of God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ that I get, the more I want. It's an insatiable hunger. And we're not the ones with that hunger, the only ones. The world hungers for the Lord. And it's not being filled with those who haven't received Him. To as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I've got blood relatives, and I pray before it's over, they all come to Jesus. But you know, with you, I'm going to see you forever. It's not like we're just going to see each other right now. As Christians, we're going to spend eternity together. And that's exciting. I tell you, when we get to heaven, and I'm not trying to get people right now to jump on over into heaven, because there's a crowd thinks they can get saved, and then they can go on vacation until Jesus calls them home. Satan's been lying to them, and they've been listening to his lie. We are saved to serve. We are saved to be servants, because God never would have sent Jesus. See, what if God sent Jesus and put him in a royal palace and had people waiting on him all the time? You know, the word says Jesus is our example. So we've got to look at life the way that Jesus had to live life. The challenges that Jesus had. And the thing about it, those challenges, those storms come our way so that we can grow. So that God can keep our attention. I tell you the way I am. If things were rosy all the time, I'd be less apt to depend on God. I'd be less apt to pray, Kelly. I'd be less apt to get with other Christians if things were always rosy. We are not identified as Christians by the lack of difficulty that we have in our lives. Being a Christian is gloriously difficult. And the thing that I've had to do in my life, and all I can speak of is the things that I have experienced, I ask the God to give me a teachable spirit. That in all things that he... But look, God allows these things. Satan can't run over God and put anything in your life that God doesn't pre-approve. So God, by pre-approving it, he's saying there's good that can come out of this situation if it's handled right by my children. So you think, well, how should I handle it? Ask the Lord. Do like I do, just ask the Lord. Lord, I need your help. I even need my help, Lord's help. The cars that I drive, I've sought the Lord's will. The house that I'm in, that we've been in 1983, I sought the Lord's will. I read about this man in the Old Testament named Gideon. And Gideon put out a fleece before the Lord. And I said, you know, if that fleece works for Gideon, it should work for me. So what I did, I saw this house and I was thinking, Satan was working on me and there's a fixer-up house. And I was thinking in my mind, well, God doesn't have anything any better for me than that because I don't deserve any better than that. And really, I don't, but he in me does. Okay? I told the man, I told God, I said, God, tell my dad a price that I should offer for that house. But I didn't tell my dad that I was looking at a house, considering a house, wondering about what to pay for that house. I just said, Dad, you know that house over there? And I named it, and he knew it, because we're in a small town. What do you think that house is worth? He said, oh, it's probably not worth no more than $17,000. That was a fixer-up house, okay? I said, okay, Dad. So I called the man who owns that house. And I said, that house you got for sale, how much do you want for it? And he said, $19,000. I said, tell you what, I'll meet you halfway, I'll give you 18. Well, God, through Dad, had done gave me 17. I compromised what I asked God to give me, the answer. And my dad, godly man that he was and is, he's in heaven today, he called me up the next day. Son, I don't know what it is, but I'm troubled in my spirit. The Lord has told me that you have done something wrong that you need to make right. So then I told him about the situation. I told him about the house. I told him about how I set a fleece. He said, well, you know what you got to do, don't you? I said, what's that, Dad? He said, you got to call him back. You got to withdraw the offer because you've set a fleece out and then you've compromised on that fleece after God done give you the amount. I called him back. His name is Talmadge. Mr. Talmadge, this is Tom Smalley. How you doing? I've got to pull back that offer that I made you yesterday. He said, okay, Tom, okay. I didn't tell him any more than that because I didn't feel like he would understand. You know, the least we say to some people, even though they go to church every Sunday, even though they've got the name Christian over them, the least we say sometimes, it's the better, because we're walking in something that goes beyond what they're walking in. Yeah. Not that we, thank you. I normally have a towel in church. Not that we are better, but we have been obedient and listen to the path in which the Lord has carried us down. Now, there's a downfall in this. If we get to the point where we think, I'm holier than you, I hear the Lord more than you, and I'm more sanctified than you are because I'm on this higher path. See, we move from glory to glory to glory, but as we do it, we got to remember what caused the fall of Satan. Pride cometh before the fall. Satan was a worship leader. He was gorgeous. And you know what? It got to his head. And he thought, I'm better than God. I wonder if I can get a few votes in this place where I can take over. And he got a third of the votes because a third of the angels went with him. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall down like a lightning. You know, because of pride. God giveth ear to the humble, but the pride he knoweth from afar off. I don't want a long distance relationship with God. I want a relationship with God that's personal, where I can hear his voice, where I can feel his presence, where I can have his direction, where at a moment's notice. You know, my wife's thing got now, she's getting real good with that Apple phone. And if she wants to answer to something, she says, Siri, where is this? Where is that? Where is the other? Or what's the definition for this? If anybody's got an Apple phone, you know what I'm talking about. Push that button and talk to Siri. I've got that type of relationship with God. And I'm not bragging, because God is not a respecter of persons. And you can have that relationship. You can grow in him. The sky's the limit to the things that you can do, because God has an open door even before you. He wants you to walk through it. He wants you to be dependent on him. But the thing that's keeping us back is this, a big thing. When people graduate, and I get graduation invitations. Y'all ever get those? You know? And I always put a verse, I get a card and put some money in there, and I put a verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, it's got to get to a point where we trust God more than ourselves, more than anybody else. I'm here to tell you, he's trustworthy. He can be trusted. He's never let me down. Think about over your life. Think about in your ministry. Think about in your family life. Has God ever let you down? You know, there's sometimes when you think he's so far away. There are times when your prayers feel like they hit the ceiling and come back and hit you in the face. But you know what? God's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's always on time. And sometimes he doesn't answer prayers with yes, because he knows it's going to do us more harm than it's going to do good. I praise God today that he ain't answered all my prayers with yes. He's not a yes man. He's got a little better vantage point than I do. He's high. He's lifted up. He sees the end from the beginning. He's got such more vantage point knowing what's best for us as His children. And He only wants the best for you. When I was growing up, I received Jesus as my Savior, August 13, 1968, in a nursery in a Baptist church. Grew up Baptist, Southern Baptist. I think this is three Southern Baptist churches in Ketchikan. I'm Pentecostal now. I'm non-denomination, pastor of a Pentecostal church. One in which we don't want to limit God in any way. If the Word says it, it's true. This is the infallible Word of God. It's truth. It's inerrant. It's the final say-so. Now, I got some people in my church that don't believe that. I got this lady in my church who used to lead the singing. She divorced her husband, and as she's shacking up, calling herself a Christian, and the fellow she's shacking up with, calling themselves Christians, and living together in sin. I got them into my house. I was gentle. I told them the truth with love. You know, you got to sprinkle a lot of love on correction. And I sprinkle a lot of love, Kelly, on that correction. And I sprinkle it to the point after I talked to them for about an hour, they said before they left, we agree with you 100%. She said, but I hate that I'm not going to be able to, on a full-time basis, get behind the pulpit and lead worship. She said, I love the feeling that I feel, the goosebumps that I get. And I started to tell her, I said, honey, you're living in sin. Those goosebumps are going to stop. Because God's not going to, He's not going to fill you if you're full of sin. I know a church where somebody came in with a prophetic word, and they said, oh, we've been praying for a revival, we've been praying for a revival, and it's just like God's not even here. And the fellow gave a word of prophecy and said, because your minister of music is sleeping with one of the ladies here in this church, and as long as that's allowed to go on, I'm not going to bring revival. They removed him, and revival broke out. No human being is worth blocking revival from coming in. Because see, it's not just affecting me. It's affecting my whole church. When you're the shepherd of the church, you got Jesus as the good shepherd. He's my shepherd. But as pastor of church, and now my wife sharing pastor duties, what we say and what we do is not just affecting us, but it's affecting everybody in the church. And you know, here's one thing about it. You're talking about a lot of them leaving because of adulterous relationships and all that. If there's adultery in the pulpit, it's going to sprinkle down and it's going to move through the church. Because the door is being left open. Pastors have a protective umbrella of protection that God has given them that goes over the members and the people that come to that church. That is an important thing. And Satan is not going to be going after those people, the members. He's going after the pastor, because if he gets the pastor, he can take down a whole lot more than just individually. That's why God holds us to such a standard. Such a high standard. Before I get behind the pulpit every Sunday morning, I go to 1 John 1:9. Those that want to can say what grace covers. That it covers all sins, and I can sin and be like the devil, and grace has already got me covered. Jesus has already done washed it white as snow. It's a license to sin. And the Bible says, God forbid that you use this for excuse to sin. The Word is very clear on that. Before I get in that pulpit, I say 1 John 1:9. I say, God, I hadn't loved you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I hadn't loved my neighbor as myself. And you know, if we tell the truth, we failed God somewhere along the line that week, and we failed our neighbor. Have you always loved your neighbor like yourself? You know what? And if you're going to love your neighbor like yourself, You better ask God for that love to be imparted in you for your neighbor, because it cannot be generated in our flesh within our own selves, originating from us. It's got to be originated from God. And I guarantee you this, God's going to allow that neighbor that you don't like to show up in your face over and over and over until you start saying, God, I want to love that neighbor. Give me love for that neighbor, because God is not going to tolerate it. God's not going to tolerate unforgiveness. He's not going to forgive you if you're not forgiving somebody else. That's tough. Think about who loses in this deal. If we don't forgive, I don't care how bad they done treated you. I don't care how bad they done to you. I don't care. You need to ask God. You need to say, help me forgive them. My wife says, well, I won't forget, but I'll forgive. Well, that's fine. But you got to forgive them in order for you to get forgiveness. Because if you don't, you're not hurting that neighbor. In fact, if you go to them and say, I forgive you, it'd be kind of like hot coals poured over them, really. You know, because it's just the opposite of what the human reaction would be. Somebody does you wrong, you go back to the Old Testament. It's a verse over here. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. All right, I'm going after this Old Testament verse. No, it says, forgive those who've done against you. And it's not just one or two times. What did Jesus say? 70 times 7? That adds up to about 490, I think, if I'm still right on my multiplication tables. Forgive. Keep on forgiving. Keep on forgiving. Debbie, you've got something. You've got a thing on your wall. And it says, don't let people live in your mind rent-free. It's essentially what it says. By holding a grudge. We can't allow people to live in our mind a grudge against somebody rent-free. Because here's what you're doing. You're taking up that space in your mind thinking about them. And Satan gets in there and he tells you even more things about them. They've done this to you. They've done that to you. They've done the other to you. And what it does, it's a snowball effect. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's taking up space, taking up your time that you can be praising the Lord, taking up your time that God could be speaking to you and saying, I'm sending somebody across your way right over here. Tell them about me so they can receive me. Somebody over here is in bondage. Somebody over here has got cancer. They need healing. And here we are thinking about a grudge that we got against somebody else. Don't let them get in there rent-free. Don't hold grudges. We got to get to the point where we stop looking at things in the natural. There was somebody, I went to a Kiwanis meeting. I'm a member of Kiwanis in Thompson, Georgia. And I know you can tell I'm from Georgia. Y'all all talking about my southern accent. And I can't do anything about it. You know, it's a dead giveaway. I was born there. I grew up there. And I guess I'll always have that accent until I get my heavenly accent in heaven. You know? But the thing about it is, I went to that meeting, and there was a Christian that was going over things. He was talking about financial blessings and how to handle finances. And I told him before it was over with, I said, listen, the problem that we've got with finances is that we're dealing with two different laws, two different mindsets. Because on earth, the mindset is get all I can, any way I can, as often as I can. That's the earthly mindset, to get ahead. And in God's kingdom, we get by giving. Matthew 6:33, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. You get by giving. How many believe that? You know, and I think oftentimes, Satan really works on this area. Because that's the way God gives. I used to have a time. I've always given my tithe. Debbie and I got married back in 75. I look at my old records, and there it was. I made this much, and I gave this much. You know, and then all of a sudden the question, and this is all about your ministry now. We're still on your ministry. It's different. I'm different. When God created me, He made me with fingerprints different than yours. I'm not just a run-of-the-mill pastor. I don't preach like other people. I don't want to preach like other people. I was born Tom Smalley in the image of Jesus Christ with the power of God Almighty Himself, and I'm going to be Tom Smalley, and I'm going to be get my education from the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to be able to watch as God promotes me. And that promotion is not a physical thing. He starts promoting you in the Spirit, but then you see the results of that promotion in the natural. I can do things today that I couldn't do last week because I moved on with God and God's given me a promotion. I'm going through birth pains right now. I've got some tough things going on, but God's birthing something. Aren't you a male? Yeah, I'm a male, but God still births. He births in males. He births in females. And oftentimes when He's birthing something, it's not fun. I say, God, how much longer does this have to... God, does this last? Does the birthing process last 9 months? I don't know. I've been into this several months. If I got to go 9, it's going to take me on up in the next year. You know, but God is birthing something in me now that is good, and it's not going to only be beneficial to me, but it's going to be beneficial to those that I minister to. It's going to be beneficial to these in bondage that Nancy has just shared a little bit about for next year. You know, where are they going to go for deliverance? They're going to go to people like you and me that first of all believe that nothing is impossible with God. That believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who believe that we have been ordained and set apart to do the work of the ministry, and that God's going to give us all the resources that we're going to need to do what He's called us to do. The Lord told me something last night. I can't share it. But He told me this. I'm going to send you so much money, so much to your church. He told me that last night. It was a certain amount of money. It was a large amount of money. And I'm not into money. My source is not me. Took a long time to learn that. My wife and I had 7 jobs between us at one time. Now, around your house, we look lazy because we're not working. Wash a few dishes and stuff like that. But we've come off of a career, both of us, of work, 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 like y'all do now. It's hard workers. Our hosts are hard workers. But you know what? They dedicate Christians to. Went in there, hadn't been sleeping good. Her husband, Dan, well, let's pray for it right now. These precious people here in agreement. Oops, I'm sorry. In agreement. God moved, and I slept like I hadn't slept in 3 or 4 years. Amen. I told Dan, I said, Dan, you're a lot like me. That's what I would do. If I see a need, I'm gonna go after that need by faith and believe it. Yeah. The world's looking for that. Amen. The world's looking for somebody that they can go to when they're in need, when nobody, where these nominal Christians who are just walking the walk one day a week and no power in them, they go into us who have the power, who have the connection to God, whose lives have, you know, for me to live is what? Christ. To die is gain. We do like Paul and we do that. My goodness. We'll turn the world upside down. It don't take that many. What did Jesus have? 12 disciples followed Him. We're still talking about Jesus today. We're still talking about those disciples today. We know about the biography on all of those disciples today because they put down their lives, their very lives, and followed Jesus no matter what it took. We got to be to the point in our ministry where we say, God, I want to follow your diagram for my life no matter what the cost. No matter what it takes. You're the most precious person or object or anything in my life. Our possessions are not our possessions. They're on loan from God till we get promoted on. You know, really, I've never seen a hearse yet with a U-Haul behind it. Never seen it. You know, I used to take offense at somebody came in our house at 83 when God, with the new house, here's what he did shortly after that fixer-upper. I said, God, there's a house my wife really loves, two houses down from where I grew up. I said, God, let's try this again. I'll try to do a better job. See, God done let me learn my lesson from failing. I done said, I give you 18. God done said 17. So here we go. A few months down the road, I put out another police. And this time, nobody else gave me the figure. God himself said $65,000. This is back in 83 now. Okay, things have gone up a lot since then. I went to them. We looked at the house. We loved the house. We felt that that's the house God had for us. He wanted $69,500. I done learned my lesson. I wasn't backing off any. I'll give you 65, and I can't give you a penny more. My mom and dad still living then, two houses up from there. We would go and visit my mom and dad. He said, we'll let you know. We go up and visit mom and dad, and we watch car after car after car go and look at that house. Because there's a lot of people in Lincoln, Georgia wanted that house. A lot of people. Some a month and a half later, he calls the owner. You can have it for the 65. After that, word got out. We had bought that house for $65,000. Couple after couple started coming to us. And they said, we would have had that house, but the timing wasn't right. I owed over here. I had real estate over here. I had the other. It was something that just wasn't working out for none of them. But you know what it was? God had our name on that house from the very beginning. And finally, this guy right here done learned a lesson, repented, pulled back an offer, and got it for what God said to get it for. I have not had a regret since then. You know, when we were looking at houses, I told God, I said, God, I don't know exactly what I want. And Debbie doesn't know exactly what she wants. But God, you know what we want. You know what the desires of our hearts are. You know, the Word of God says, delight thyself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. We don't really, you don't know what your real desires are. But you ask God, give us what our real desires deep down inside is. And God gave us something that still fulfills our desires 32 years later. We're happy with this home. It's from God. I know I'm in the house God put us in. I know I'm driving and Debbie's driving the cars that God's put us in. More importantly than that, I know I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. She's received Jesus Christ as her Savior and Lord. So we know we're in the family God has put us in. And the earthly family we met, fell in love on the first date, couldn't stay away from each other. My wife, she picked on me, my countryness and my narrow-mindedness back then. I asked her after 2 weeks, I said, let's go steady. I'd never asked anybody to go steady with me before. I said, let's go steady. She said, well, it's a little red-headed guy just 40 miles from here, and he's a good kisser. So that either meant I'm not a good kisser, and he's a better kisser than I am, and she wants to string him out and string me out too. Finally, she said, I'll go steady with you. And just a couple of years ago, I asked her about that red-headed guy. I said, you ever hear from that red-headed guy from Greenwood, South Carolina? She said, Tom, he never existed. Playing me. Okay? But there's not a day that I regret marrying my wife. And I hope there's not a day that she regrets marrying me. It's a union made in heaven. God created her for me. God created me for her. We had a wonderful daughter. Daughter's still alive. We love her. She loves her parents. We got three grandchildren. They love their grandparents. We love them. You know, God works things out when we do it His way. And when we decide that we don't want to be selfish, we want to be selfless. Amen. Jesus in the garden, looking over there, and this is in closing. I don't know how the time's going. I really don't. I don't have a clue. It's been an hour. I'm not supposed to have 45 minutes. Let's put this in rewind. Let's see, what can we cut out? Okay, but here's the thing about it. Jesus in the garden looks over there and sees three of his disciples sleeping. And he prays to God and he said, God, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We need to say all the time, Lord, I want my will, but nevertheless, I choose your will over my will. I don't want to be selfish. I want to be selfless. Thy will be done. There's revival in individual people's lives that's being blocked today by selfishness because they want it done their way and not God's way. There's churches that are not experiencing revival today because the preacher in that church has got his own preconceived notion of revival and God wants to do it his way, but the pastor of that church wants to do it his way. I pray God will help me to be selfless because I'm not speaking as one who has arrived on this subject. I'm speaking as one who God has convicted, you know, and I'm speaking as He has and is convicting me. Pastors in churches, God speaks first to them. They get that sermon, and that's to them. If anybody thinks that's not for me, I'm going to really hit the people over the head with it this morning. God's hitting you over the head with it first. He's saying, get in line. Get in line. Get in line with my word. Get in line with my will first. And he also brings new revelation too. As the Holy Spirit speaks, and I depend on him, I know I've been looking at the notes a lot this morning or this afternoon, but this is where I preach. I depend on him to tell me, and I just speak what he tells me. And in that, he brings stuff I had never learned before. And the people say, wow, that's quite a revelation. And I think, you know, it sure is. God's never told me that before, but he's revealed it to me right here in this sermon this morning. And I'm there rejoicing too. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Can we sing one song? I know I'm getting a little hoarse. It goes, God wants to be joyful all the time. Okay? And this one goes, this joy that I feel, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I feel, the world didn't give it to me. I'm a little hoarse. This joy that I feel, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. World didn't give you joy. Joy of the Lord is your strength. Have the joy of the Lord. Rejoice in His name always. And He'll bring it to pass in your ministries, which is really His ministry through you. God bless you. I love you all.